Yeah, you're like a doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, we're about to have a good time, man. I've been looking forward to this. All week since we recorded last, this is Red Pill Tamales. We got the homie Juan Perez in the building.
What's up?
It's your boy Chingo. This episode is brought to you by ChingoTheMerch.com. I am drinking way more coffee than I'm selling, okay? So I'm getting high off my own supply. I think it's like one in one. For every bag I sell, I'm drinking a lot, all right?
So I had to stop doing tamales, bro. He was eating more of his supply. Now he got coffee. He's drinking more of his supply.
Hey, man.
That's how good your supply is.
That's how good it is. And anyway, shout out to Freer Texas. Speaking of tamales, out to Freer Texas, man. Y'all were amazing. Y'all were great.
Oh, bro, real quick. On that Freer Texas, bro. A lot of y'all were clowning Freer, bro. But we found there's this gym. There's some gym.
They're like, dude, they got like one stoplight. It's like population.
Yeah, they were like that. That Dairy Queen is popping, dog. Dude, hey,
I roasted the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, he did roast the Dairy Queen. But there is this place that has a smash burger,
double drop bar and
grill. Bro, I don't even like smash burgers, and this freaking smash burger.
I was daydreaming about that bro, smash burger today.
It had jalapeno cheddar
in the bun. In the bun.
And then the smash, bro, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, Javier busted a little nut when he bit it. He's like, man, I don't be gassing up people with the food. I mean, I don't do that. I don't gas people up. And and allegedly, Juan Perez was like, man, this is better than True Burger. I was like, hey, man, I ain't had it yet. But I would never say that, man.
I said it.
Just because, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? I said it. I've been to both. Pimp C. And I'm just saying, hey.
But it was a trill ass burger in its own right.
Yeah, so. it had some. Hey, there was little pieces of Houston on that burger. So, I mean.
Hey, there it is. But anyway, shout out to you guys, man. Really fun crowd. And met some really cool people. We had a great time. Looking forward to next year's tour as well. So, man, we got some funny videos. You ready to get into it, Big Dumb?
Yeah.
All right, let's start it off right here. Let's react to this video right here, man. We're going to call it Frog Mode.
You finally moving up in the world. Here go your snake. Here go one of these snake-ass niggas just trying to pull you back down. You just hold on. Just keep holding on, man. Go. You got to keep going. You got to go up. Don't let that nigga pull you down there. Don't you let him pull you. Keep going. You better keep fucking going. They done did enough. You done had enough of that shit, don't you? There you go. Get up out of there. Get up out of there and you keep elevating. Don't you stop. Keep going up. There you go. Up some more. Keep going. There you go. Go up a little higher on this bum ass. Higher. There you, bitch. Don't let nobody stop.
That's how I'm coming, 2024. That's the energy I need, man.
2024, just shaking people off?
Yeah, I love those voiceovers, man. I what's that gentleman's name? Super Ray 4K?
I don't know. Like I just saw it come up, and I was like, oh,
he's got some hilarious fire. Hey, man, from the from one of the voiceover kings, that boy got some fire voiceovers. But that really made my day, man, seeing that frog make it, bro. You can't just... Well, you got one of these snake-ass motherfuckers latched onto your frog leg. You can't just give in, bro. You can't... You know what I mean? That's what I be telling myself when I go to jiu-jitsu class, bro.
Yeah, and you got to keep climbing because then it's like following him around. It was following him around. If y'all watch it again, it was like.
I had to watch it twice because I'm like, that punk-ass snake, bro.
Yeah, it wouldn't stop.
And
people be pulling you down, dog.
You think that size snake could have just swallowed that whole frog whole, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. 1,000%. 1,000%. Even if it was smaller, it probably could have swallowed.
Yeah, a whole fucking frog. Greedy-ass snake.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a, man, like it take it back to Garden of Eden, bro. Like why do snakes always be like that?
I don't know, but
that's Adam and Eve, man.
Okay, we went there.
Why
okay.
The snake gotta be a liar, bro? Come on, man.
It wasn't a lie, it was trying to eat it.
You studied theology. Yeah, that snake was trying to eat the frog.
Yeah, that's the haters, dog. They always trying to bring you down. That's
shake them haters off.
I've been doing that lately. I've been shaking everybody off.
You got haters out here, my boy?
I got haters, and I have friends that were haters that I didn't know were haters, but they would just hold me back.
Oh, damn.
So I can't had to, like,
I gotta hear this cheese, man. Have I heard this cheese, man? This recent cheese, man?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Basically, if your name ain't Israel or Chingo, I had to shed you. That's basically how it went.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's some other people you ain't named that you cool with.
I just had to get rid of a lot of people. I had to just focus, man. That's the main thing. Yeah, I just had to focus and dive in harder. to try to accomplish a lot of the things that we need to accomplish. Like, and it just
had to be like way, the frog, man.
Had to be like the frog, shake it off.
So you had to cut people off.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's where I'm at right now.
But I mean, are we talking about people that you actually used to like really, really keep in good touch with? Where it's like, man, I got to distance myself. It happens sometimes for different reasons, man. You got to distance yourself
from. Yeah, man. It's like people I'd spend a lot of time with. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like on the phone or whatever it was. And you know, sometimes it's cool because, you know, I don't know, like you pass the time with them really good. You have good conversation. But then after a while, it's just like it takes its toll. And it's like, hey, man, I can't keep doing this shit. Like, this is distracting at some point. And it's like it. I just had to make the call. Like, okay,
yeah,
I got to pull the trigger, and it's not a bad thing.
But you had to like tell them, like, hey, bro, I ain't gonna be kicking it with you, dog.
Yeah. So, I told my sister this, and she was like, "What?" And
oh, wow.
So, okay. So, man. Like, so the way I did it, and
that was on her lounge podcast, by the way.
You
didn't tell it on there.
No, this is just. When she was about to leave one day, and I was telling her, and because we were having a conversation from from her podcast, and then afterwards I was like, oh, this is what I meant, and then I told her, she was like, oh, you be cutting people off like that? I said, that's what I did, and so like basically I just went through my phone and
deleting people.
Y'all gonna hate me for this, but
I
started deleting people. Just like, if I had to call you and get your attention, and like, and I've been nothing but helpful. Basically, all my relationships, like, I'm usually the one keeping in touch, making sure everybody's good. But so at some point, I was like, delete, 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 delete. And then I finally got a text from one of the numbers I deleted. And it's like,
I don't know who you
hey.
Are.
It's like, hey, how are you been? And I just go,
who is this?
At first, I said, who's this? then they didn't respond right away.
Damn.
And then I took a screenshot and said, I don't have your number. I don't know who this is. And they didn't respond to my liking, so because it took forever. So then I was like, and I didn't get a response, so I was like, cool. Do me a favor. I must have deleted your number for a reason. And
God,
you probably wasted my time or wasting my time. So unfortunately, just lose my number. Do me a favor.
I don't even know who
you are. Lose my number. You know, unfortunately, I'm sorry I had to be like this way.
It's like, I'm your mom, mijo.
Get rid of it. Nah, I got my mom's number just in case. But that's about it. But damn. like everybody that don't have your number, if you text me, you're gonna get the same message. I know that sounds fucked up, but
I was like,
so,
hey man, you ain't.
You can take your chances and message me. Hopefully I have your number. If I don't have your number, don't get mad.
Well, I was like, you can take it how you want. Maybe you just low status.
It's really that. And it's not even bad. It's just one of my look, this is what it is, honestly. I spend time with too much of these people, and at the moment right now where I'm at, what I've come to the conclusion of what I'm moving towards, a lot of people won't be there, and a lot of people haven't been there. So
you missed this flight.
So when they're trying to jump on now, if I don't have your number or I don't have your name saved, it's like, hey, I'm sorry, I had to let go, y'all.
Well, I was like, it's cutthroat out here, bro.
It's not even really that. It's just, if I didn't have a goal I was shooting for, I wouldn't have been so cutthroat, but like, because I'm trying to accomplish certain things, it's like,
I know you're gonna inspire somebody, man. And you know what, we appreciate the feedback. Y'all might be thinking like, man, if I leave this comment, ain't nobody gonna see it. I guarantee you we're gonna see it, especially if it's like a heartfelt. Do we receive a couple heartfelt comments that when Juan sent me the screenshots, I was like, I think I might have just hit the weed, and I might have had like a beer, so it just in the corazón, das. Nah, but it
got
was
dusty in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, it got a little speck in my eye, my pupil. You know, my retina starts sweating.
Freaking Bill Gates allergies up here. You know,
chemtrail had hit. seriously, like people saying like, hey man, you know all that silly shit y'all do, bro. Like, you know, sometimes I'll be having a bad day, and like, man, you really brought me out of some dark spots, and I'm like, damn, we just be improvising and acting a fool, but it's really. It's motivating because it's just a good reminder of like, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving us more, do more of it type of thing. And we look forward to it.
Yeah. Because it also motivate Chingo and me. So it's like one of those things where it's like, no, we're heading in the right direction. You're getting
it's great feedback.
Your fan base, they're interactive a lot, and they're communicating like certain things that you're doing. So, I mean, they like it. We keep going with it and we keep building off of it. So that all feeds each other. Yeah.
Because you never know how your art is gonna affect people, bro. Like I'm a fan of Scarface, obviously, like Houston rap legend, and you know what he did with the Ghetto Boys, and he really helped put Houston on the map. And so seeing him in that setting with all the live instruments, and you know he plays the guitar as well, and it's just really cool to see hip hop like mature and evolve, and see like one of your idols perform in this type of setting where it's like he's telling stories, he's setting up the song, and you know, give it up for this guy, and his son comes up, and the keyboard player is like, dude, he was in the studio since he was three. It's like, we used to have to kick him out. So it's like a very intimate, cool medium, that format. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't fuck with NPR like that. But when it comes to these, like, bringing in Juvenile, Rakim, like, bringing in these, you know, different artists, T-Pain, and doing this series, I was just like, man, it's like super dope. I watched it several times already. So it's like, it's probably trending because it in a few hours of it dropping, like everybody was like, yo, this might be one of the best Tiny Desk concerts. Usher's done one, T-Pain, like a lot of people have done them, a bunch of bands, all genres. But I enjoyed it. And I have a Scarface story that I'm going to see if I could punch it up and make it funny to include it with my P. Diddy story when I'm talking about like my come up days. And it was a debacle because this is back before GPS, bro. Like, you had to, like, really know where you were. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless you had, like, a device from Academy or one of these stores.
Yeah,
like,
you were on that friggin' map just.
I mean, yeah. What's going on? Especially, you don't have time to go print, go to MapQuest and let it print out. You're, like, make a left, make a right. I'm out of sight, I'm through.
Yeah.
Like. Especially if it's like you're a production assistant, Scarface is on his tour bus. You need to go see what he wants for lunch. And it's like, oh shit, okay, so he's the star. Yeah, he's got to have his separate lunch, not what the fucking crew is eating. So I'm like, wow, what a fucking honor, dude. Like, my buddy Dave, who was, he got me the gig on the music video. He was my manager back in the early days. And so I was like, oh shit, did Dave hook this up? Like, who made sure I was the guy that's gonna bring him the food? So he's like, damn, man, all right, bro. Scarface is like, man, look, I want some steamed crab legs and some steamed vegetables. And I'm like, okay, bet. And I asked my buddy, or I'll try to figure out, like, hey, Hooters got that shit, right? And they're like, well, they probably got the crab legs, but I don't know if they got the vegetables. So long story short, bro, this took forever because I had to, like, hop in a vehicle, drive off the where we were shooting, go to the Hooters on Kirby, on 59 and Kirby, and then there's an IHOP next door because I was trying. I was like, hey, I need steamed crab legs. It's for Scarface, Mr. and Mrs. Scarface, Ghetto Boys. And I need the steamed veggies. They're like, we don't do steamed veggies. They're like, you can try IHOP next door. So now I'm having to place two different orders, waiting, and for whatever reason, it either took an extra long time, or it felt like a long time, or he thought it was a long time. But it was one of those where it's just like, golly, everybody done ate, man. Here you go. You just now strolling in with what I have requested. And it's like, no one sells that combination of things around here for lunch, sir.
Man. Some of y'all don't understand the story. Like, I'm a little bit younger, but I still know the struggle of, like, I remember whenever those little Tommies came out, those little Toms, the map. You know, yes.
Okay, Tom.
It went from like just like maps here or asking somebody. But could you imagine
the pressure?
Like, well, not just that, but like imagine GPSing a location to go. But now you're having to think, man, is there even a Hooters here, or where is the other restaurant? Because like on GPS, you just type in the restaurant name.
You just got to know. We knew. We were like, okay, there's one on. There's an IHOP next to it. I don't even think we knew all that. I think I literally like asked at the Hooters, and they're like, try the IHOP next.
Yeah, that's what's crazy, because back then you could look, and now you can look it up on Google and be like, who has
you want street both view? Of
those? Oh, yeah. Y'all want those? Okay, cool.
You want to do a stop on the way?
But you got to be able to pivot back then. Yeah. Like, oh shit, I'm a Hooter. Oh my god, what am I gonna do with this? Hey, is y'all got recommendations?
Oh, what's going
on,
man?
Come on now.
I don't know if you heard of the rapper Devin the Dude, but he was with Rap-A-Lot Records. This is a crazier story. He was with Rap-A-Lot Records, right? Uh-huh. They got a little scary reputation. You hear things, right? It's kind of like a little bit of a Death Row Suge Knight type of thing at times. There's stories. Mm-hmm. You know.
Alleged.
Falsifications. People be, you know, like, oh, shit. when your reputation
urban legend
precedes you. Yeah. So Devin the Dude was a rap a lot. He was shooting a video for this song called Lackville 79. It was literally about his 1979 like Cadillac. So it was a older car. Older cars be breaking down on you from time to time, no matter how fancy and nice they look. So my job, again, what the fuck? This is before GPS. My job was to, like, it was like 6:30 a.m. or something. You got to meet Devin at his house and have him follow you to the first location, which is, I'm drawing you a map. It's going to be at this car wash. So you're going to, this is where Devin lives. You're going to come over here. You're going to be at this car wash. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow the map. So we're like, okay, Mr. Devin, you going to follow me? Good morning. We're going to the first location. How you doing? Big fan, by the way. You know, one of those, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, you know, just really laid back pothead dude. And so he's following me in this old car, and I'm like looking at the map. All the while, he knows where we're supposed to be going. It was just a miscommunication. He's like, I thought it was supposed to be like Mr. Wash or something. But I'm like, I don't think this is right. So I'm like calling like home base, uh-huh. like probably my boy Dave, like, hey, bro, such and such made me the map. And man, I've been going a little ways. And it's like, nah, dude, you're supposed to go the other way. I'm like, she drew the map wrong. So we're doing a U-turn. He's having to follow me. His shit overheats and fucks up, and like this vehicle is the star of the video. The song is about this video. I mean, the video is about this car.
Oh my god!
So, bro, long story short, it turned into an expensive mistake because now they still need the shop, but now the car don't run. So they had to rent like a special flatbed truck to like tow it on, and then rig the camera. So it threw off the timing of the production, which is money. For Rap-A-Lot Records. So, like, I forget who the guy was. He was, like, he wasn't director. He was, like, some kind of, like, production manager guy.
Mm.
Where he was just kind of, like, it was never, like, damn, bro, you fucked up. But it was one of those where it was, like, you know, like, where you just sense, like, damn, bro, everybody knows
I'm the one. Does he need to go to the train station?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting that look. Like, man, I think they're going to take me to the train station.
Oh shit!
And he don't look like he familiar with locomotives.
Why he got a cowboy hat on,
bro?
What's going on?
So yeah, I got music video stories for days, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, I really ruined the day that day. If I felt like I was on a prank show, man, I felt like I was being pranked.
I was like, "Where's Ashton Kutcher?"
Yeah,
shit.
Man, you want to see a fucked up prank, bro?
Okay,
check out. Got? Man, I don't know what you would do. Let's see what you would do. What would you do?
I'd be swinging. Man, for the fences.
They knew who to do that prank to. They did it to the little chick that with her face covered and she was scared. Look here, man.
Hey, I've seen pranks on some guys and they start screaming worse than the girl.
Well, I probably would.
Let's be real.
I probably would have screamed too while doing a teep kick, a front kick on this motherfucking demon bitch. Pow, straight to the chest. I would have used that wall to my advantage, like treat it like it's a cage and octagon.
See, this is what happens when you get that fourth stripe.
We would have gotten that clinch. We would have gotten that clinch. I'd either try to take the back from there or do a takedown. It'd have been neon soul, ground and pound.
Yeah, going out with the bang.
Yeah, it'd have been a whole bunch of hammers. They'd have been like, it's a prank, bitch. You gonna flicker the lights on me, hoe?
Hammer fisting bitches.
Yeah, I'd have hammer fisted the wig off that hoe. Dude, the scariest part about the scariest part about that video, I'm sorry if you're only listening, you couldn't see, but the fact that they had a little trap door in that elevator and that person like snuck in. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you, like, even if you're not a bitch and like you ain't scary like that, but you're just like, huh, man, why are the lights flickering and in the elevator? Just there, and then they like, appear.
Oh, damn.
And then they appear, your imagination will fill in all the blanks. Yeah. Your imagination gonna do the rest.
Yeah.
Like, this is really a demon bitch.
Yeah, you gotta swing though. You gotta swing.
Distance management. Use your legs, man. Kick.
Swing and elbow, and if it goes through them, then you're fucked. Kick. At that point, if it's really a ghost.
Well, you don't want demon blood on you, bro. Like, use your kick. Front kick. Teep.
I wanna make sure I hit a bitch.
Yeah, fists are cool too, but like, I mean, have your shoes and like fucking.
She like, was real close. Hey, when she popped up, you don't it want popped up real close to her. So that's it's true, like, it's distance, hey, man. That's elbow distance. Yeah, baby. Yeah, you're bam. Right.
That's knees.
Straight elbow. And then after that, then you start using your legs. You know.
Teep.
Ground stomp.
Nah, but see,
so you take that to the.
I would just kick it. I would just be straight legs, bro, because you don't want to like get your knuckles in demon blood. You catch something.
Hey, I ain't thinking that far ahead. I'm thinking she pops up right in front of me, is elbow, punch, whatever, and true. Then it's like she goes down, and then it's stomp.
Yeah.
Then you get stomped. Unfortunately, that's what you get. You play stupid games, get stupid rewards.
Yeah, it depends on the distance. Mm. You right.
Mm-mm. These people tripping. Yeah. It's just going to be a natural reaction, too. It's going to be like your what is it called? Your reflexes just kick in. It's oh god, and bam! Just
I was trying to peep the language, like the accent. It sounded like Italian or Portuguese or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that lady was.
That shit's crazy. I can't believe they got away with that. Because you would think you'd have to get somebody to sign a waiver. Because like that shit, you give somebody a heart attack or something. For real. That shit's wild.
You could literally scare somebody to death.
Mm. Yeah, that's trippy.
Liability on that.
That's so fucked up. That's so fucked up.
That's like way more than Fear Factor, bro.
That really.
Fear Factor is kind of like, hey, here goes some bull nuts. Y'all got to eat.
I think it's like, I think for that one though, yeah, that one's ahead of time though. At least you know what you're.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Getting into for a certain amount of money. The prank like that, like
hopping out of trash cans and shit. Yeah.
Like, I think the friend has to sign waivers and shit on your behalf or something to get you in it, I think.
How is that legal?
What was it? There was one that Shannon Doherty did that she had a scary show, and Shannon Doherty did it, and I think it was something about the friends would have to call the show and try to get...
She was Beverly Hills 90210?
Mm-hmm. And she... And her
you knew show. About that show? Boy, you're a youngster, bro. Because I was like in middle school and all the chicks were talking about that show.
Yeah, I remember that. I liked Charmed when I was younger.
Okay.
That was a good show.
So Howard Juan had screamed in the elevator.
Hell yeah. I straight up would have been like, this is definitely a prank. You know what I mean? Yeah. I would have been about it.
Oh,
am I going to be able to see
did you? Did you see Clueless with Stacey Dash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well... I started watching this reality TV show called College Hill, which has Slim Thug in it, Ray J, NeNe Leakes, what's her name? Stacey Dash was in it. And it was interesting because they shot it down the street at the university. Mm. And so it was actually a pretty creative show because I guess every episode there's like a challenge. So one, they have to do a marketing project. And they got to work in teams and there's drama. You know, like reality show style. Yeah. And the next one's like, they got to do biology class. They got to dissect a little pig fetus thing. And you get to see, like, Big Frida and all these artists, like, out of their element having to do this stuff, bro.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it was, like, randomly. I think it's on Netflix. I was having to kill time, and I'm like, man, let me just play something. I don't have to concentrate too
much. If you like
those
shows, I mean, everybody likes what they like, bro.
Yeah. It was a guilty pleasure.
Hey, oh, I said I like Sharp.
But no, I will say this, though. The fact that Slim Thug was in it, I was like, okay, I got to see this. I got to see, like, how they edited him, how they portrayed him, like, what they had him doing and stuff. Mm. But, yeah, that was cool, man.
All right. You got another one?
Yes, sir.
How we doing over there? Big-ass glare. Yeah,
you're good. Okay, you're perfect. Then people that be pranking people, man, it look like they a whole bunch of moldy rice.
That's a weird transition. You could have just said, hey,
check out this video about Moldy Rice. Because I'll be liking it and try to make them, you know what I'm saying?
Something for your health.
Segways.
I told Chingo about this. He was like,
yeah, nah, I was bro, very dubious.
I don't know about that. And I was like, bro. I'm like,
Juan,
you this lady sound like she know what she's talking about. Why would she be making it up? And there's something in Japan. Like,
I'm like, why? If she ain't Rhonda Patrick.
She older than Rhonda Patrick. She taught Rhonda Patrick, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a lie, let's see what y'all think. I don't know. I don't know what y'all think about. I
mean, her, y'all could be eating this. That's cool.
Her reasons and her data. Let's see.
There are two foods that commonly grow mold. One is peanuts, and one is cooked rice. In 1921, Japan passed the Rice Act. You see, there was an epidemic of cardiac beriberi, which is a heart condition, all through Asia. And so the Japanese government passed the Rice Act in 1921, putting stringent rules on the storing of cooked rice because they found this mold with its particular mold waste or mycotoxin was directly affecting the heart. So when this Rice Act went through, cardiac beriberi was wiped out. And that's why when you go to Asia today, you'll never eat day-old rice. We should eat rice fresh every day. You want to make sushi? Cook the rice in the morning, make sushi for lunch. You want to make a rice pudding, fried rice, cook it that morning and then make it a few hours later. Some say, what if you put it in the fridge? You can cook it in the morning and put it in the fridge and maybe eat it in the afternoon. And maybe you can cook the rice at night, refrigerate it and have it the next morning, but you never let it go more than 24 hours. It can grow a mold and we can't even see it. I had a lady do our program who was a pathologist. She said, when I was at uni studying pathology, there were two things that always tested positive for mold. She said it was peanuts and cooked rice.
Yeah, you made a good point. You said, why would she lie?
Why would she be lying to tell you, hey,
sometimes
eat your rice
sometimes people
right away?
Well, sometimes people grift, bro. Like, she might have been getting paid, like, man, look, give me 5 racks. I'll come to your... You know, y'all sell the tickets or whatever. I'll be a special guest, and I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to unlock the code and give you some game. And then she's like, psh, I bet y'all ain't know rice get moldy, and it could fuck up your heart.
After 24 hours? Like, dude, you know how helpful that would be? So if you've been eating moldy rice because you're like, man, I got prep for the fucking week, and yeah, it's got to be like this, and then we're just going to put the Tupperware in the microwave and make it even worse.
Yeah, more plastic.
And it's like, bro, so you got the plastic, you got the mold, you got everything else, and you're like, yeah, I'm dude, I don't know. Yeah. I'm eating healthy. What the fuck?
Yeah, and then if you fuck around, buy the wrong meat, they done put all type of antibiotics in the meat, and... You know, your chicken, Bill Gates clone.
Yeah, you got all that. So it's like, dude, at least
your veggies got
moldy rice. That's the basic. I mean, you got everything else fucked up.
You got veggies in there. You got Monsanto. What is that? Roundup. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, so at least you can start like, you know what? That's why I should probably get one of those like Minute Maid rice things. So you just eat one little thing of rice.
Minute Maid.
Or not Minute Maid, but like the little batch rice cooker things.
Man, speaking of Minute Maid, my niece graduated from college, and she got like her cosmetology thing. And I had both daughters because Marisol was doing a pop up at St. Arnold's. Shout out to St. Arnold's, man.
That's I was with her.
I had to go get me a little six pack of St. Arnold's because they support my baby. And y'all went out there and shot like crazy. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna get myself a six pack. And
Hey, y'all should probably go check that place out because I was there helping
set
up, and they have like a little—I don't know—people. It's like a little gym because it's like they have a little space of like a little maze with like little trees. Like it's like a like chest height for adults, but for kids, it's fun. Like, just like this little.
Oh, they get to run through it.
See? Yeah. Mm. And it's like a little fun little atmosphere, like an open area.
And puedes pistear.
And then they got a big screen TV so you can watch all the games and stuff. And then they got all the brewery stuff where you get a beer and then they have a little restaurant inside. It's a dope spot.
Oh, they got food in there.
Yeah, they got food in there.
Well, I had to take my daughters to Minute Maid and to watch the ceremony. Well, it took forever to try to park. Then I had to walk like a few city blocks, surrounded by homeless people. Oh, yeah. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Downtown, I guess.
Depends on the street, but yeah.
I mean, right by the Minute Maid field. Yeah. Like, I helped build that stadium with my hands, bro, my bare hands.
Yeah, you kind of told the story before.
Yeah, he told it 10 times. And anyway, I got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I'm having to have the diaper bag and the la tableta and this and that. We missed them reading my niece's name, but congrats to her. And then we went to like one of those Brazilian steakhouse type of places where they just like you put the green and they coming out with swords like that's lamb chop, como la quieres, das. And then they had a whole kids table, so I felt bad for the other visitors because like, bro, we got a whole kids table and they're sitting, people being seated like over there by the kids, bro. And I'm like, checking up on Sunny. Sunny will cry from time to time. Yeah. So I'm like, damn.
She's like, this meat ain't got what I need.
I don't know why. I don't know what she just started crying, but anyway, shout out to my niece and yeah.
Shout out to single dad life sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. My wife was working. You know, daddy's tour don't kick off till February, but y'all be ready. Y'all be ready. I'm hosting for Louis the Singer though in Fort Worth.
When is that?
I think it's like December 27th.
December 27th or 8th?
I thought it was 27th.
Somewhere around the 27th, 28th.
I could have swore it was 27th.
Probably 27th.
You think it's 28?
You're probably right. I thought it was, but I'm tripping.
You might be.
I might be tripping.
And for New Year's, you might have to roll with us if you don't have plans. Marisol and I, we got invited. My boy Haji Springer, Indian rapper, Indian American rapper from the Bay Area. He's performing New Year's thing out here in the Houston area, and he invited us. And Mighty Soul is obsessed with like Indian music and culture. Mm-hmm. I was like, we are there.
I don't know if I can go. I might have my son. I know I have to have my son for the thing. Unless it's that night of the New Year's Day, like not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Is it New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
Well, Eve sounds like night to me.
It's the 31st?
Yeah, 31st night.
Oh, yeah, no. I'll have my son.
Yeah, and not to mention, too, like, we might have to leave early because they start shooting and shit. You got drunk people. I just want to hear some the dough drums. It's going to be a Bollywood theme, my boy.
I posted a story. Oh, let me see. Why don't we add this one? Look.
Okay.
All right. Check out this story. Yeah, so the background of this is it's supposed to be some kind of like comedy, like network kind of TV show type of thing. But she was crying because something like a personal thing. I don't want to get too much into that, but she was crying about a personal issue.
You saw the whole episode?
No. Somebody was explaining it. And then she started crying
on beat.
About it. And then that the DJ just gets in there and is like, oh, and that's whenever everybody was like, oh, come on, man, stop.
They got a fire DJ. What the fuck are you doing, dog? DJ on point. He can't catch that.
Like, ooh, that sounds like this.
I got some fat. Damn. Yeah.
He cold it.
Man, I would like. We love Indian food and all that, bro. And we be wanting to take a trip. But I'm like, man, you know, Klaus Schwab don't want your carbon footprint being like that. Mm-hmm. They want you to wear the VR set, bro. Mm,
yeah, the VR set. But at least you can hear your music while you're.
Yeah, I mean, when we go to this New Year's party, that's going to be, like, the closest thing. But my buddy Haji, though, like, every time I see him, I always ask him, like, bro, when you going back to India? Because, you know what I mean? Like, I want to go to Vietnam and Thailand and all that, but I'd be like, man. Mm-hmm.
I hear they got good wives over there.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I hear they got wifey material.
I appreciate my wife, though. So I'm good. I lucked up. But yeah, right, man.
We got one more?
One more, which one we doing? Legacy,
Legacy mode?
Mode. Check this out. Pow.
When a man starts reaching his late 30s, early 40s, he enters a new phase of life. This is psychologically and scientifically proven, and they've created a category for this. This category of life for a man in his late 30s, early 40s, he comes to one of two places, stagnation or generativity. Stagnation is when you go, well, I worked, I was an athlete in high school, I went to college and I was great at what I did, I had a job, I had a career, I had businesses, but now my kids are older, they're gone, I don't feel I'm doing anything, I'm just living on this hamster wheel, doing the same thing every single day, not really paying it forward. See, a man especially has a need to pay it forward to the next generation ahead of him, right? And the reason is because that is the only way we can leave a legacy behind, is by sharing with others.
Damn.
What'd you think?
I agree for the most part, where he says, like, a man gets to that point in their life where you start to kind of think different. I don't know if I do sometimes. I'm trying to think in my head. I think I kind of do more than I know. Like, start thinking in terms of, like, nah, man, like, the clock's ticking. Like, you got to really make it count. Like, how are you going to be remembered? What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to teach your kids so that they can, you know, your grandkids and everybody going to be good?
I think humans as a whole, women and men, eventually have that thought, because we're all wired to, like, want something more. Like, we're all wired to be, like, try to be a part of something bigger, something more. It's just the way it is. That's why you have social norms and different things, because we like to group up. And I think if you can get outside of some of that, like, you start really reflecting on, like, things you can build on. And I think when you sit back and you're like, man, where am I? And things like that, where you just have those moments. I think that's why guys get, like, those, midlife crises, and women, you know, they, because when they stop having kids, when they're no longer having to have kids, you have a lot of women that are either regret not having them, or you get the other ones that are just so grateful that they had them. You know what I mean? And so, like, that starts to happen, because then you start realizing, because we have a lot of stuff to distract us. We have a lot of stuff to distract us from death. And basically, that's, we like to put death on the back burner, as far as, like, that's never going to happen to me, because we're so distracted, and we're so like, man, right now my job's the most important thing. Right now this is happening and this is happening. We get so distracted that when you finally have that realization, or that the talk with yourself to be like, oh shit, what is this about? Like, what am I actually living for? You know, rather than, I just want to be happy all the time. It's like, outside of that, you're going to have sad times, happy times, mad times. You have different emotions, but actually putting it into some type of practice of, like, I want to make sure that I leave something for my kids. Because if we're being honest with each other, it's rare, very, very rare, that anybody outside of your kids are going to know anything else about you. They're going to remember anything about you. Maybe a student you taught or something like that. But for the most part, most people are going to forget about you. Like, Michael Jackson was amazing, but unless you bring up his name, most people kind of forget. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to make the example that, like, even some of the greatest people that leave behind big legacies of, like, this is my music and this is my... People forget that they already passed away. Like, nobody's intricately in their life. The only ones that are really you're gonna have a real moment with is, like, your kids or, like, a student that you taught or somebody that you passed knowledge on for them to be, like, really grateful that, man, I'm so glad I have these memories with that person.
Made an impact.
Because even your grandkids, they're really not gonna know you. They're not gonna know you. Your kids are. That's as far as literally some of us will go. And I think a lot of people don't look at how intricate, like, your kids are in that moment. And that's why you need to pay attention to those kids. Because they're the ones that will pass on some type of a memory, even if it fades away after the second generation.
They're the ones that are going to clean your booty when you're old.
or give you to somebody that will do it for you.
and this is, like, hella off subject, on subject, but, like, Borisito Joe Biden, bro, like, literally, man, like, literally, like, buddy is in that phase where it's like, hey, you know, somebody got to start taking care of pops. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Dr. J, what's wrong?
I'm listening.
Okay. but they got him as the leader of the free world. You know what I mean? It's like, man, you know, right now Pops need to be chilling. He need to put on some Matlock and some, you know, mashed peas, and he needed to take a little nappy poo, and not trying to, like, worrying about all the treason and shit and motherfucking, you know what I mean, impeachments and whatever else, you know, collecting the bag. But no, I think you made a good point, bro. Like, you know, prioritizing those closest to us, it's, and especially, like, you know, our parents too. You know what I mean? Like, making sure to, like, just keep in touch with them, and everybody lives on different sides of town and that kind of thing. So,
I mean, that's honestly what you need to, like, that's honestly what you need. You just need, there's a few things for you to keep growing. And one of the things is you need
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
There's 3 things, actually. Like, the main thing is you need a teacher or you need a mentor or something. Normally that's your family, but if you have a shitty family, then you got somebody else you can find. Coach. Whoever. Just somebody that mentors you, that can teach you something that you're trying to learn. A rival, somebody that you can actually be in friendly competition with, where it's like they're pushing each other, grinding against each other to grow even further. And then you also, the last thing you need is like a student of some type or somebody to teach or train or pass on. And if you have all 3 of those, you're able to, like, really keep growing, because more or less you either grow or you start to deteriorate. It's one or the other. So it's like when you have those 3 things, you learn at 3 different levels. You learn at being the student, being the competitor, and being the teacher. And I think with those 3 things,
that's some anime shit, dog.
Yeah, dog.
That's where you got that.
I'd be watching anime.
That's where you got that. That plagiarized.
I didn't plagiarize.
You plagiarized.
That's not something straight off of fucking. That's not something straight off of an anime.
They're all like.
There's a whole story behind stuff, but, like, you don't just get that type of thing.
Somebody in the comments is like, "Man,
that's
I don't know none of the names. That's Yarimoto Harikoto."
Oh, Matsumoto Musashi. I don't think he says that shit. He's like,
that's Matsumoto Musashi,
greatest samurai alive.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, actually, not alive. I mean, he's dead. He's been dead for years. I don't think he said that.
No. I think that was your original thought.
Yeah, but that's for real though. Like, that's literally,
it makes sense.
Yeah, that's literally what I've kind of picked up by just having people around me. So, I mean,
well, that's pretty fucking observant and perceptive. And it checks out to me, because I feel like that formula will allow you to keep it real with yourself as you mature and evolve. For example, like, I love being me. I love being able to be me. You know what I'm saying? I love being able to be honest and transparent and not have to, like, be in a certain character all the time or even artistically, like, nobody, like, I'm super independent. Nobody's telling me, like, you have to write about this, you got to do at least 15 minutes of these kind of jokes, and you better da, 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 da. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that could be very frustrating for a lot of artists when you get in the record label, you know, the major label, or you got the agent, or you got the this, and everybody, especially when you're getting hot and you're popping, everybody starts hitting you with some kind of crazy advice, like, whether you're like Louis the Singer or a Ralph Barboza or a Mexican OT, anybody that's just, like, having a lot of success, I'm sure there's a ton of people that are like, "Nah, man, check this out, homie. You got to get on these kind of beats." And da, da, da. And it's like, bro, at the end of the day, like, I can't be everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think it's relatable, man.
Yeah, I think so. And those 3 things, if you keep those 3 things, you'll never be stagnant, in the sense that, if somebody's teaching you, if you're following, and again, sometimes you'll become the leader. And at some point, even if you don't have a teacher anymore, you can find another teacher in different things, because you can't be good at everything. So find a different teacher in something else, but just be teachable. Because if you do each of those things, you will never be stagnant in your life, meaning you'll always have somebody to grind against and try to, like, take yourself to another level. Take yourself
and,
to another
and
level.
Teach and pass and
teach
on.
And pass on, and then switch and off. Compete. Like, it's those things that keep you driving forward to be something better.
The rival thing, man. I got to wrap my brain around that part. Because mm-hmm. I don't really, you know, I ain't really got no rivals, my boy.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, rare air.
Like, I think about it like this: like even for comedy. Okay, let me just throw comedy. Yeah. So, like, if you're in comedy. And you constantly see, and it could be a friendly thing. It could be something like, man, like
I just did this.
You get inspired by somebody because it's like you maybe you get so content with your set, but then you see somebody else like, oh damn,
yeah,
he just reached another level. Yeah, shit, yeah. I need to get my writing game up. Like,
oh yeah,
all of a sudden it's a friendly competition of like. When I could, ooh, I'm gonna fucking have,
yeah,
ooh, dude. He's turning over so much material, I'm gonna turn over more material. Watch this shit. And you start competing, a friendly competition in your head of like, I gotta write more than that than him. Oh, you think you did that joke good? Oh, watch me deliver this shit.
Yeah.
Because you start seeing other people start reaching new levels, and if you can friendly competition of like, ooh, I gotta get to another level.
No, there's a lot of that.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that because, I mean, whether it's like, holy shit, Michael Blackson is fucking destroying some shit right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like, fuck, I got to go on after Javi Luna. Oh, okay, let me try to pull something on my ass so he could be like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, okay, you surprised me with that little part or something. I know you was going to try that joke. Yeah, man, I'm out here.
Yeah.
Be outside.
But it's like that. It's that friendly competition of like, ooh. Like, ooh, mother, all right, here we go. Let's do it. You know, and that thing keeps you sharp because you're constantly trying to. You're like competing with one another, and you're growing each other. And then you just pass on the lessons to somebody younger, like somebody like a new up and coming comic, mm-hmm. or even a son or a child that's like you see like the stuff you're trying to pass on with life lessons, or it could just be comedy lessons to a new comic.
Well, I'm trying to start shit. He's like, you know, some of these rappers are your sons.
I didn't say none of that shit. It's like, funny. You're going to be like, man, we got to take that motherfucker to the train station too.
Yeah, people in the comments like, you know who he talking about. You know exactly.
I don't know.
He done fathered the whole generation. And don't nobody want to acknowledge that's your daddy in the game. What day is Father's Day this year? Hey guys, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, checking out these videos, reacting. Clips coming soon. Thank you for sharing, commenting, telling a friend. And like we said earlier, man, we just want to like just entertain, cheer people up, put a smile on your face, hopefully make you laugh. And so we really appreciate the feedback. Thank you guys.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.